Sydney asked me to teach a couple of weeks ago, and my daughter's getting married on Friday night. And at the time, we didn't really have, you know, I thought, well, that'd be a cool day to kind of get my mind off things. And then today's been hectic. Yesterday was hectic. Tomorrow's going to be hectic, and Friday we get her married. So I hope we can get through this the way I feel like I got it. And I'm going to start with this verse. It's Matthew 18:18, and it says, "Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you," he tells us twice right here, so it's usually important, right? "Again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." So I know Sunday was just kind of a small crowd. Tonight's kind of a small crowd. I'm glad you guys are here. Y'all always make it better. Y'all bring some energy with you, and I appreciate that. But we're responsible for the atmosphere, okay? He knew who was going to be here tonight, and we're responsible for bringing the atmosphere. So we're going to talk a little bit about tonight, about atmosphere and how praise can kind of usher that atmosphere in. But you guys know I'm a coach, and when you're a coach, you like playing at home, right? Get you a home field advantage. Why is there a home field advantage? Your crowd, your facility, you should be familiar with all the holes in the dirt and the holes in the fence, the, you know, what's going to happen, the national anthem, how the process is going to go before the game. You're comfortable, right? You feel at home, right? You feel at home. So anytime we come in here, we should feel at home, right? And so, maybe we should pray. Let me pray. Let's pray. Dear Father, I just pray that you would just be with each and every one gathered here tonight that made a sacrifice to come out to your house tonight, Father, to where our home is. And we just pray, Father, that you will speak this message the way that I hope it can go out and be an impact to others and do what it needs to do, Father. I just pray that you just use me. It's in your sweet holy name we pray. Amen. So as a home field advantage, you know, we like these things. And you think about home, we have a duality. We have a natural home, which is here. And then we have an eternal home we'll go to at some point, right? But the Word says our home is there. Right? Our home is there, but yet we live here. Okay? So in saying that, you know, in heaven, there's going to be a continual, perpetual praise. Okay? When I think of somebody that praises, I've been around Linda Carter enough to know that she doesn't just come up here on Sunday mornings and praise. She praises every day and every at her house. She's got it continually going. And so she understands praise. And you know, and I'll have it on, but I feel like sometimes she has it on more than me. Anybody else feel that way? Okay. So, when in heaven, there's continuous praise because there's no night, there's no day. There's the sun. And everybody bows and worships him. Okay. The word's clear on that. We're all going to bow and worship him and sing hallelujah. Okay. Right now, he's got angels up there doing that. And he's all that's needed up there right now for people to praise. Down here, in the natural, we praise out of sacrifice, his sacrifice. And when I have a home field advantage, I like that. And so when I can bring heaven to earth, when I can bring home to here, I got the advantage. Right? Okay. So, and I guess, too, if you don't like praise, you know, Sunday was different. We had three voices up here. We had four instruments where normally we have a full stage. So it was a little different. But that's still praise. The Sunday before was praise. And you know what? We bring the atmosphere to that. Okay? We bring that atmosphere to him because we have that opportunity. And if you don't like praise, whether it was last Sunday or this Sunday or any other Sunday in any other church, anywhere, you're probably not going to like heaven. Right? You're going to be miserable in heaven if you don't like praise. And so we see the need for it here. Okay? And to me, our church gets that. We get praise. We get that's how we usher in that anointing. Okay? And part of that is because we have been mandated, we have a mandate to bring the atmosphere with us. Okay, so that's kind of a long way around. But back to home field advantage. Home field advantage is a psychological term that says, and this has been researched by Sports Illustrated, and if you're not a sports fan, just bear with me a second, but Sports Illustrated says, did this survey and to prove that home field advantage was actually an advantage. And more often than not, the home team wins the game more often than they lose. That's proven by their poll, by their research. So we don't have to argue that. When we're at home, for me, let's use this example. Our pastor and his family went to the Heaven Come conference last weekend. Then they took a few extra days to have some relaxation with their family. They've been away. Prior to that, he and Lori were going for a couple of weeks to Argentina. Okay? And I can tell you, they've enjoyed all of that, but there's nothing like home. Okay? There was a certain energy in Microsoft Arena this weekend where I watched it, some of it online, and I felt the energy just coming through my computer. So I know there was an energy and a presence there. If I have a home field advantage, you know, and we can apply it, we don't even have to apply it to sports. We can apply it to your job. You know, if on your job, if there's an issue or a problem and you're the expert, you're going to have an advantage over me because I'm not an expert. You have the home field advantage because of your knowledge. You come to my softball field and I might know a little more than you. That's my home field, literally. Okay? So we get all of this in the natural. Right? We get that if we go to space, outer space, that I've never been personally, but I have seen if somebody goes to outer space, they have to have a special suit on to get into the outer space. Why? That's not the atmosphere I was created for. So what I have to do is take the Earth's atmosphere with me inside that suit. Right? If I scuba dive, I can go under and hold my breath for a while, about 10 seconds. Some people longer, several minutes. But if you plan to stay down there and look around a while, you have to have the appropriate equipment to survive. Okay? You have to have that big old breathing tank, the fence. You maybe don't have to have the fence, but you have to have all that stuff on so you can survive in that atmosphere, because I wasn't created for that atmosphere. Right? We're dual. We have an atmosphere here on earth and we have an atmosphere in heaven. Okay? All right. So why do we struggle? Why do we struggle? Let's look at Hebrews 13:14. Jeffrey, do you have that one pulled up? I think I have it if you don't. Hebrews 13:14-15 says, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased." So we've been given this opportunity as believers to live in this duality. And, you know, we're not oblivious to this. I mean, if you're going to take her out, okay, and you want a good atmosphere, are you going to take her to maybe, I don't know, Atlanta Fish Market? Probably going to cost you some money. Okay, meals aren't cheap. It's going to cost, they're going to drive to Atlanta. It's going to cost you a little bit more for that plate of food. Or you could take her to Taco Bell. Okay? Spend probably $10. And you can even say, oh, baby, just get what you want. Right? You start look. I know I've been to those nice restaurants, and I look out there, and I see, ooh, $38, you know. And they bring my piece of steak out there, and it's about this big, you know. But it might have butter on it, so that's always a plus. You know, or if, you know, if I'm having date night, it's going to cost something, right? But you take your wife on a date to create an atmosphere, right? Okay. So when we're creating those things, you know, it's going to cost us something. And I always get my son, he's a salesman, and he has like six or seven states he's responsible for. And he has like Delaware and D.C. and all these different places up north. And things are a little bit more expensive up there. And he'll send me a picture of his tab where he picked up the tab for his customers. Okay. Now, his customers drink alcohol, so y'all can judge that whatever you want to do, but that's part of it. But I look at the cost of the steak, $45 a plate. Okay? And he'll have a tab of $1,200 to feed six people on his company card. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know what I could do with $1,200? You know how many meals I could eat on a $45 steak? But that's the cost of getting that business. You have to present that atmosphere to get that business to make your business grow, right? I'm sorry, I got to have a little water. So the good news is I get to set the atmosphere, okay? However, so many of us, me included at times, want to be a thermometer. What does a thermometer do? Thermometer tells you how hot it is. It tells you the atmosphere. It tells you the, you know, like today it's been 9,500, right? So it tells you how hot it is. It tells you the temperature. What does a thermostat do? A thermostat will allow you to change the temperature or the atmosphere. Okay? So we don't need any thermostats. We got plenty of those. There's some that sit here every Sunday and every Wednesday. I mean, right? I mean, I've been one of them. I'm not throwing everybody else on them. I've been one of them. So, but my life, because of what he did, should not be reflective of being a thermometer. I'm not called to be a thermometer. I'm called to be a thermostat. When I walk into a room, because of who's in me, something should change. The atmosphere should shift. Just because of how I walk into a room. I can walk into and be having fun, but it can still be a difference because of who's in me. I don't have to be all serious all the time and go speak King James when I walk into a room. But because of who I am in him, the atmosphere should change and I can have an impact in that room. Okay? Does that make sense so far? Okay. Here's the thing about God. He loves for us to celebrate him. He loves for us to worship him. He loves for us to spend time with him. He digs that, and he responds to that. Okay? He responds to that. And why would we withhold that when the God, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings responds to our praises, our worship? We start worship first here in our church, like most churches do. And we think, worship's now. I just need to go get a word. I see the words. I'm just, you know, I'll slide in during worship. But what are we doing when we do that? We're trying to make a withdrawal without making a deposit. We're trying to say, okay, come feed me. I'm your cheap date. I'm going to Taco Bell. Feed me, Sid. Take me to Taco Bell. But I'm not going to press in for that atmosphere in worship. Now, he already got me. I know some of y'all looking like, oh, Lord, she is. Whew. But this has been me. When we want to get all the good stuff, but we don't want to offer our sacrifice of praise. And sometimes, for the last 3 months, it's been a sacrifice of praise for me. It has been. But you know what? He has met me every time. He has met me in my place every time I've come in and offered that sacrifice of praise. We have something unique we can do here on earth. The angels are created beings worshiping Him in heaven. Y'all know me well enough to know I'm no angel. He has angels up there worshiping Him. We have an opportunity here being having a duality. We get to worship on days we don't feel good. We get to worship on days we do feel good. We can offer that sacrifice of praise every day. Ours is different than an angel's. I'm going to tell you in just a second about that. Anybody can praise after they see a result, can't they? Or when things are going good. Woo! Jesus is rocking it. He's on the throne. He's got my back. We're good. So anybody can praise when it's going well. But He needs some real praisers. He's tired of us fake ones. He needs some real praisers that know how to praise even through real problems. Real problems. So we've got to still lift up that offering of praise. I can look down here on Sunday morning worship. If y'all hadn't noticed, there's a little group of kids that typically get down here. And I know you guys aren't always here, but we have a group of kids that will come down and, you know, they might just be twirling their dress, but they're doing it for Jesus. We have a group of little boys that will come over here and sit and watch the worship team. That's praise. Jesus gets rocked by that. All that's praise. And we have this opportunity to celebrate that. And, I mean, they're unapologetic about it. They don't know. I mean, if I were to come down here and start looking up at Tyler, that might be weird to some people. But for the kids, that's not weird. It's just unapologetic. I love Jesus, and let me show Him. With us, I know at my house, my Anthony, when he knows something's wrong, he wants to go to prayer. When he's afraid at night, he says, Alexa, play Bethel worship. Right? And he sleeps to Bethel worship playing through Alexa. And so he gets it. He gets it. And, you know, we want to go through the motions sometimes. We want to hide behind those fig leaves and go through the motions. Oh, yeah, I got it. I'm good. You know, and we do that to a certain extent because, you know, I share things with my tribe, right? And so we do that to a certain extent, but at the same time, it's got to be between you and God. Because yes, my two or three can help me gather, but at the end of the day, it's my offering of sacrifice. It's my praise through a hard time. So anybody can do it when it's easy going. But how do we respond? You guys ever been in a spot where all you could do was look up and praise? Me too. Everybody in here's been there. Life is tough. Sydney preached a couple weeks ago about the race set before us. We're all at different races in different spots. And it's tough sometimes. Sometimes you're in that flatlands and sometimes you're trying to, you know, cycle up the Alps. And it's hard. You know, we get that bad doctor's report or we have that disappointment. You know, and when you have those things happen, I remember I had a kid that played ball for me, 1994, I first met her, and we're very close friends now, and I remember she was coming here to this church, and she walked in, and she was pregnant, and her baby, at the sonogram, they saw cyst on the brain, and she was just obviously numb. Right there in that corner, we surrounded her. We were putting hands on her belly. We were declaring mighty warrior over that baby. We were declaring holiness. Doctors had told her to abort. No. We know a guy. We know a God. We know a people. We know some praisers. We know some worshipers. Let's give it to Him. We didn't know if He would answer it or not. Didn't matter. We knew what to do. We offered a sacrifice of praise. It looked like prayer. It looked like her raising her hands in worship. That's what it looked like. That little joker was at my house the other day, aggravating a little snot. But about 2 months later, those things were gone, before he was ever born. So can we believe? I've seen other things. I've seen, is it Kimberly that was back here? I think her name was Kimberly, the redheaded girl back here, had a diagnosed brain tumor. We saw it on the scans. Again, we pray. Went back to the doctor. That thing's gone. We've seen bones grow in this church. And it's not because of anything we have special in here. It's because of the God we know. And it's because of hearts that believe. It's because we can offer a sacrifice of praise despite the bad report. Doesn't matter what it looks like in the physical. It's what He's going to do in the supernatural with our hearts. I remember the first time I came into this church about 16 years ago up on the screen. And I probably say this every time I teach, and I'm sorry, but it's one of those things that impacted me so greatly. When I saw Haven Trantham up here, 1 pound, 2 ounces in her daddy's wedding ring up here at her shoulder joint. And she's another one that sits right here on Sunday mornings, probably up in youth group tonight. 15. Don't tell me God can't do it. All He needs is some people to bind and loose. Bind things here and loose His atmosphere into this. He just needs two of us. He likes when it's three. And boy, when you get a whole bunch of them, He really responds. Isn't there energy and atmosphere in groups? So I'm glad you guys are here tonight. You guys bring some. I saw y'all pulled in. I came in on two wheels right before y'all turned left over the tracks. And I saw y'all and I said, yeah, I'm glad they're here tonight. Because last time I taught, y'all weren't here. And it was good, but I like it when y'all are here. I hope y'all feel like this is home. Let this feel like home. Because we love you guys. But better yet, He does. And we want to be a people that shows how He's captured our hearts. And that we believe in the supernatural. We believe that we can bind things here and loose them. And we get results. Sometimes it's not the immediate result we want. Or the result that we want doesn't come immediately. Let me say that differently. And all He's saying is keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. I remember also, next Monday's June 3rd, and on this weekend in 2003, well, during that Monday, that June 3rd, 2003 was on a Friday, and I remember that Monday prior to that, probably around my birthday, because my birthday was yesterday, so around my birthday, I told my husband, we're done. And I remember walking in here on a Friday, June 3rd, and sitting right over there and looking out that window and just hoping to God nobody would speak to me. We had a ladies' conference here. Varl Rollins came in. And before she ever got here, about 6:30, I had a couple of ladies, of course, spoke to me, being nice like we are here. And when I turned around, everybody can tell when something's wrong. So they immediately began praying with me. And when praise started, they took me back there. And they said, we feel like you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, I don't even know what that is, but okay. I'm desperate for anything right now because my marriage is over. Didn't get it. Sydney came back there and got us, and I came right here and sat. And Varl Rollins started speaking. She was in the book of Ruth. She she talked about the kinsman redeemer. And at one point she was talking right in here, and she walked right up here on this stage and looked at me. I'm like, and she said, "Loose your tongue. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit." She had no idea I was back there. And I did. That saved my marriage. My kids came to know the Lord because of that. So don't tell me He can't work. I'm sure there's brokenness, hurt, disappointment. Nothing's too big for Him. Nothing's too big for Him. So does anybody have any real problems besides me? Y'all help a girl out, please. Here's the good news. It's in the Psalms, I think, but Linda, you probably know it exactly, but it says He inhabits our praises. And I was listening to something a couple weeks ago, and this guy, he described it, and he said, inhabits means that when we praise, and the way he described it, I don't know, I'm going to tell you what he said, and I forget his name now, but he said that there was a throne built on top of our praises. And I think that's biblical, being enthroned in the praises of our people or something. So he said, when we praise, when He inhabits our praises, He puts that throne on top of our praises that we send up. And He sits on top of them. He sits on top of those. And He, from there, He can rule and reign over us. He can rule and reign over us. The first worship leader in heaven was a cat by the name Lucifer. And the word says that when he walked, you could hear a song come out of him. It was almost like he had organs in him, and every time he would walk, you could hear that he was so anointed. It also talked about a cloak of diamonds that he wore. And when he would lead worship, he would come in there, and he would take this cloak and put it over his head. And when he did that, he was hidden. And when he was hidden, the light of Jesus would shine onto those diamonds. And that glory could be reflected towards us or towards the angels. And then that would be reflected back to God. That glory, glory, hallelujah. And it was like a disco ball is how I pictured it. Like a disco ball, you know, up there in heaven. Yeah, you know, well, sorry. I'm getting wedding ready, so, you know, I got disco balls on my mind. But, you know, so when... And I guess for us, when we worship, you know, I always close my eyes. I think that makes it more intimate. You know, so worship's for Him. It's not for me. But what happened is obviously Lucifer decided he'd take a peek. And he saw this glory being reflected back to Jesus. He's like, well, why am I leading worship and letting Him get all the glory? Well, you guys know the story. He wanted to be God. And the word says that God kicked him out of heaven along with a third of the angels that he convinced to try to overthrow God with just a finger. So his rebellion got him kicked out of heaven along with a third of the angels. You know, and for us, what Lucifer didn't get, that I hope I always remember and that I always get, is when you understand who's truly sitting on the throne, when you realize who is on the throne, that's all you need. When you realize who's there, when he's sitting on the throne, and he's the same today, yesterday, and forever, that should be enough. We don't need to be God. He can handle it. But for us, look, he gets kicked out of heaven, and what does he start to do? Create havoc, right? And the way he gets us to move God off our praises is to bring the circumstance, is to throw the proverbial bump in the road, the curveball. If we get back to home field advantage, the curveball. So if he can make us believe, it's almost like he wants us to believe that God's schizophrenic, right? When my life's going good, whoo, God, you got it. You on the throne, baby. When I get bad news, I don't know where God was on that one. You know, when I get a raise or I get a job, something happens with my job that's good. Oh, God, thanks for looking out for me. Boss gets mad at me. Dang, God, where were you? Kid gets all A's. Woo, just like his mama. Thank you, God. They call and say, he's in trouble. God, where were you? Right? So it's like he's this, he's that, he's on the throne, he's off the throne. And what happens when the enemy can make us think he's off the throne, what happens to our praise? I've been there. We've all been there. Where were you, God? Here's the thing. On a good day, he's on the throne. On a bad day, he's on the throne. On your promotion, he's on the throne. When you do something stupid at work, he's on the throne. When my kid got A's, he was on the throne. When I'm sick, he's on the throne. When I'm healed, he's on the throne. When I have enough, he's on the throne. When I don't have enough, he's on the throne. Does that not, maybe I'm not being, see, when I talk to my kids in FCA, and Nick can probably verify this, I'm that, come on guys, don't y'all get it? Kind of, you know, the old coach comes at him. When I get in here, I'm like, calm down. But I need somebody to help me get it tonight. Thank you. I'll take it. You know, he's worthy. He's the same. My position is the one that moved, not his. He's still on the throne. My position moved because I let that little curveball get me. And it's when I can, I'm not saying we don't have to regroup a little bit, but there should be an absolute to know that he's still on the throne. Nothing took him by surprise. He still got that. So, he doesn't get off the throne, does he? I think the word verifies that. But there is something in there that says, when God arises, or God arise, what happens to our enemies? They scatter. So did God get off the throne? This guy I was listening to, he said, and I need to find his name. I didn't write it down for some reason. Y'all can just listen to it. He'll do a lot better job of it than I did. I'm butchering a little bit, but he said, you know, God's when it says God arises, when he looked that up, he said we think of God standing up, and when that happens, you know, you play move your feet, lose your seat, right? So that would give the enemy an opportunity to come in behind us and sit down. Okay? That's not what arise, God arises means. And I didn't know this, but it's revelation to me. So you think, when he says God arises in that scripture where he'll scatter the enemies, what he said is, God just leans forward. He might adjust himself in the chair. It's kind of like when you're, when kids are little, and your mom or even the dad, you hear that different sound. You're sitting in your chair, you hear that different sound, and then you kind of think, okay, maybe it's different, but let me kind of see how this goes. So what do? You just kind of lean over and look. Right? You don't actually get up. So can we make a sound? Can we make a sound with our praise that's different, that allows God to arise and scatter our enemies, a praise and a sound that he hasn't heard before, right? Mama hadn't heard that sound before. Daddy didn't hear that sound before. So can we make a noise, a sound that will make God lean in? Because when he leans in, when you lean in, what happens? Your little baby's all of a sudden got that attention. When we can make God lean in with our different sound, we got his attention. That excites me. So, despite my good day, bad day, when I offer that praise, it's coming from a redeemed, the sound of the Redeemer. Redeemed, sound of the redeemed. So, speaking about home field advantages, you guys, again, it's a sports analogy, I'm sorry. But I've been to places, and I guess during football season, you know, you go to high school football here in Georgia, and it's can be loud at certain places, especially if it's a big game, right? Well, this past year, the Kansas City Chiefs had this tremendous season, right? They had the rookie quarterback, Mahomes. He was like a throw the ball up this way and hit his receiver, and he was special. But their stadium was so loud, according to the announcers. I never went. But I do know when I watch certain sporting events, if you have, the players have their kids on the field, they have the earphones on them to keep their little ears from getting hurt because of the noise level. Well, they said at one point they measured the sound in this stadium. It was 142 decibels, which is the equivalent of standing about, probably far from here at the door, from a 747 jet reared up, ready to go. Okay? Pretty loud. At 150 decibels, your eardrums burst. So pretty loud, right? So here's the thing. What happens when you're the opposing team coming into that home field? You're not familiar with that sound. Your crowd may be pretty good, but they're not at 142. You're in enemy territory. So you know what? The team says, it's too loud in here. My quarterback can't hear me call the play. Right? It's confusing to us. We get that in the natural. What if in the supernatural we made a sound that was so loud that it confused our enemy? He didn't know what to do with us because we're so loud. I can't get that girl to shut up. I can't get her to be quiet. This happens and she's still praising. This curveball came, she's still praising. It's a good day, she's still praising me. And then if I get my little tribe of two and three and we praise and we can really make some noise. But what happens if I get everybody in the home field? Well, I've been to games before and you see people going absolutely bananas at a football game. Grown men painting their face with their shirts off at Lambeau Field in December. Lambeau Field's in Wisconsin. It's pretty cold. It looks cold. I've never been, but it looks cold. grown men and women and kids praising their football team. Now, I'm sorry. A football game ain't never done nothing for me like Jesus. I love it. I'm the biggest sports fan. I love coaching. But what if all those people in that stadium creating 142 decibels came in here and gave a shout of praise for Jesus? He's there because I see John 3:16 signs. And I see two or more people. He's there. If he can get somebody in agreement with him. But we're not praising. We're praising them Falcons. They let us down a lot. Jesus never will. He won't. Jesus never will. He is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. Falcons going to have a whole new roster this fall. Already got a new kicker. And I know that because we've got a kid from Carrollton. It's their long snapper. He was talking today about having to adjust to a left-footed kicker instead of the right-footed kicker. Just snap the ball. It's not that easy, right? Take some skill. If everybody could do it, they'd be in the NFL. Here's the thing. Everybody can praise Jesus. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Even the rocks cry out. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. I forget that sometimes. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. How sad is it that we get that in the natural? That we can, on earth, in that atmosphere, we can create such a sound in the natural that the enemy complains. The Word says it only takes two or three to agree, where we can bind things in heaven and loose heaven on earth. I need that in my life. I need that. So you get the enemy, he's calling out, red 42, red 42, give her anxiety. Blue 47, give him depression. Ready, set, go on downs. Y'all don't know if I don't know their name box. And that's what the enemy does to us. But the Word says, if we make a different sound, he arises. I want some of that sound. The last one I'm going to share with you is another football story. Seattle Seahawks. Their fans are called what? 12th man, right? And they do that to intimidate the opponent coming in. The opponent starts worrying about how loud it's going to be. Or, you know, if you watch basketball, Duke basketball at Cameron Indoor Stadium, the fans are loud and they bounce the whole game, right? Well, at Seattle Seahawks Stadium, I guess to be different, whatever, they've got smart people out there. They put they have earthquakes out there. So they put a seismograph maybe that measures the earthquake? Well, so their fans were so rowdy against somebody they were playing, jumping, screaming, whatever, that the seismograph registered an earthquake. In the Word, it talks about Paul and Silas in a Philippian jail. Shackled. Singing praises to their Jesus, to their King. When they sang praises, it said what? Something like an earthquake happened. The door fell off. Not only were they freed, but They brought salvation to a Roman guard's household. What can our sound of praise, what can our earthquake of praise do here on earth? See, I don't live in heaven yet, but I have a home field advantage. Because when I said yes to Him, His world came with Him. He captured my heart. He captured my heart. Even on the bad days, He's still good. He's worthy to be celebrated. So I just wonder. The Word says that when the angels fell, there was a void left in heaven. A third of the angels left. So a third of the sound left. So at that point, God says, I need to send Jesus to save that which was lost. You think that which was lost? What do you mean, those? Those that were lost? No. Those that were lost were gone. He needed to save that. You know what that is? Our praise. We have an opportunity here to offer a sacrifice of praise that angels can't do. We've heard Sydney teach this before. Angels can't offer the same praise we have because we get to choose. Angels know no different. We get to choose our praise. Do we just praise Him when things are good? Do we praise Him when it's bad? We get to choose. What sound do we make? He came to get a redeemed song. He came to get me. He came to get y'all. Anybody else ever come to get y'all? Besides cops? Right? Maybe. I don't know. I had to go get my daddy out of jail one time. I'm sorry. That was rude. I apologize. May be true for some of you. I'm sorry. I just threw all y'all under the bus. I apologize. I'm sorry. I just threw everybody under the bus. I sure did. I'm so sorry. But am I right? I mean, y'all know, you know people. If it's not you, you know people, right? Right? We know a guy. Yeah. We know the guy. 1-800-BELL-BONDSMAN. No, I'm just kidding. It's going bad. I'm sorry. That's right. That's the best one to know. He's the best one to know. Because He can set you free when nothing else can. You know? He can make you do life different. Not make you. That's not a good word. He'll make you want to do life different. Because when He captures your heart, when He captures our heart, June 3rd, 2003, I was a goner. My life in the natural turned upside down. But what we bound on earth, He loosed heaven right into it. And now it takes me, my husband, and Jesus to make it work. But when He loosed Himself in us, our world changed. His world came with Him. So what sound are we going to make? What sound are we going to make? Can we offer a sacrifice? I know all of us in here have been through stuff. We've all been through stuff. And if you're not going through anything right now, you're probably going to start going through something soon. And it's easy to praise, or easy to think He's on your side, or easy to think you and Him are cool when it's okay. But He wants more from me. And there ain't nothing like a praiser till it costs you something. You want that atmosphere to be different when something's hit the bump in the road. I need to make a different sound. And when I make a different sound, my God leans in. And the enemy can't take his throne because he's on it. And when I give him access, he captures my heart over and over again. And I want to make the world shake. I mean, you know, when if you find yourself shackled and in prison, most of us wouldn't think, well, let me start praising Jesus for landing here. Some of you may have because it might have been dead otherwise. But that's not our first thought, but it should be. So what sound are we going to make? Are we going to be a thermometer? Are we going to be a thermostat? We get to choose. Because on days, this Sunday was not many people here. Holiday weekend. Last time I taught, you guys weren't here. But that shouldn't change my sound. Shouldn't change my sound. Because she was bringing atmosphere. We have a home field advantage. All we got to do is get a couple people to agree with us and change our sound and let him inhabit that praise. And I'm telling you, shackles can fall off. So if I were with my kids right now at FCI, I'd be screaming at y'all. What sound you gonna make? And I'd say it till they repeated it back. So what sound are you going to make? You are redeemed. He saved us for a reason. That reason is our praise. That reason is to create the atmosphere. Not just for us, but for all those watching. All these little kids twirling, all those boys over there. We create an atmosphere for that. Not just in here. This is easy. If you can't worship Jesus in the house of Jesus, something's wrong. But can we do it out there on Monday? Thursday morning? My week has been hectic. Got a wedding in 2 days with my girl. It's been hectic. But he's in the midst of all of it. He's in the midst of all of it. So, yeah, absolutely. I'll be quiet a minute. Go ahead.
Sorry. On March 14th, there's a girl that her uncle lives and goes to church here at Calvary, but I went to school with her daddy, and she posted that she laid down in her bed to take a nap. She had a headache. And when she woke up, she realized she didn't feel her baby move. And she was 38 weeks pregnant. She started doing everything that she could and called the doctor and got to the hospital, and they told her there was no heartbeat. And so they took her in for a C-section. The baby did have a heartbeat. It was pulmonary hypertension. The baby was gravely ill. And he's been in the hospital, and they've told her time and time again he will not live through the night. He is severely brain damaged. He's had every stomach issue. He's had tissue on his back to fall away. But every single day, she posted prayers of thanksgiving for something that she found to be thankful for. And then she posted her prayers of petition. Last night, at 8:45, she posted, "My prayer of thanksgiving is tomorrow night at this time. I'm going to be home with my baby." But her prayer of petition was to pray continually. that his brain be bold and brazenly healed. The doctors told her he will never be able to function, period. He is wiggling in the hospital. He is looking at objects. He has a long way to go, yeah. He has a feeding tube, but her faith never faltered. And she was so bold to post every single day. In the midst of her tragedy, they came in one night and said, he will not live through the night. This is critical. Bring your family in. But that shows you the God we serve.
Yeah, I remember those same reports kind of coming to Robin over Haven. And I think little Isabel, Leo's daughter, I mean, she got Make-A-Wish, granted, you know. But she was here back in November, like 12, 13, you know. And she had visitations from Jesus. So there's nothing too big for him. Nothing too big for him. I know the McDaniels are in the same boat, and they're still, you know, standing in faith. And sometimes that's all you have, you know. And all you need is those two or three to come alongside you and believe with you. And believe with you. And he just needs access to do it. And we give him that access. He is faithful to move. So, well, I appreciate you guys letting me share with you tonight. And just to, you know, if you need to come to the altar, it's going to be open. Just what sound can we make to attract heaven? We already have the song as a redeemed man. What can we do to shake? I feel like there's some things that are shaking us that need to just keep being shaken on out. That makes sense? That there's some things that are being shaken, and it is time for that earthquake to come in and loose those shackles. I don't know, that may have been for somebody. But that there's things that we need to put our sound on. We have that, Sydney's taught, we have that song in our heart. We have our song. I can't sing your song. Y'all can't sing mine. We have our own. So what is our sound? Dear Father, we just thank you so much for tonight, Father. We thank you that you inhabit our praises, Father. That, Father, that when we give you access, Father, you are faithful to show up. That you are always on your throne, Father. And, Father, I just thank you for the sweet, sweet time I get to spend in worship with you, Father. And I just pray, Father, that we will see that as our deposit to you, Father, so that you'll just meet us where we need to be met. We love you, Father. And I just thank you for everybody that came out tonight. Just pray that you just multiply blessings in their life, Father. But most of all, Father, send them home with your peace. We just thank you for everything you do for us. Amen.